朋友，活在耶稣里网站，欢迎你来收听福乐人生讲坛的节目。接下来请听戴季宗牧师的分享。愿圣经教导激励你来追求主耶稣的真理和生命，并且将福音传给更多的人。
我想我看这两节，第一个让我注意到的，当然就是在教会也好，或者在传福音工作上面，团队服事的重要性。
From these two verses, we get to see the importance of team services.
当然这个讲到团队，我们可以分享到很多。
Of course, we can talk a lot about teamwork.
但是我在这边，我特别羡慕巴拿巴这一个人。
Here, I especially admire Barnabas.
你会记得他被耶路撒冷的教会给了一个重要的一个任务使命。
He was commissioned by the Church of Jerusalem, a very important mission.
就是要去到安提阿去了解那边的情况是怎么样。
He was sent to Antioch to understand the condition of the church at Antioch.
我不晓得大家有没有特别注意到，当他去到了安提阿，他发现的事情。
I don't know if you ever pay attention what he discovered when he reached Antioch.
第二十三节就描述他到了安提阿，他就看见神所赐的恩。
Verse 23 says that when he came, he has seen the grace of God.
哎呀，我特别在我的圣经里面把下面的三个字把它圈起来，他就欢喜。
And then he was glad. I circled it. He was glad.
我越研究巴拿巴，我越喜欢巴拿巴。
As I study about Barnabas more, I like him more.
他是个好人。
He's a good man.
被圣灵充满。
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
大有信心。
And he has great faith.
哎呀，我很羡慕巴拿巴。
I really admire Barnabas.
但是我最羡慕他的是什么呢？
But you know what I admire him the most?
就是他看到别人的工作，他不会眼红。
That he will not get jealous when he see other people's work being blessed.
他到了那个地方，虽然这个工作不是他的。
He went to that place even though it was not his work.
但是他仍然能够为着别人的工作来感谢上帝。
That he was able to give thanks to God for other people's ministry.
我们常常为我们自己的工作很快感谢上帝。
We often give thanks to God for our own ministry.
我们为神祝福我们的教会人数增长，我们感谢上帝。
We give thanks to God that our members increase.
哇，但是当对面的教会人数增长的时候，我们是不是也是欢喜快乐呢？
But then if the church across the street grows, do we rejoice for them?
我不用回答这个问题哈。
You don't have to answer this question.
哎呀，我看到巴拿巴，我觉得是一个很美的一个图画。
But when I see Barnabas, I see a beautiful picture.
我特别喜欢的就是当巴拿巴去到了安提阿的时候。
That I like it so much when he went to Antioch.
第一，他发现这个工作是大过他一个人能够做的。
First of all, he discovered that this ministry is much greater than what he himself can accomplish.
大过他一个人能够做的。
It was more than what he could do.
其实这种视野已经是不简单的视野。
That vision, was already very good.
但是我觉得更宝贵的一个就是他去找的同工。
Was even more precious that he went to search for his co-workers.
他去找谁？
Whom did he find?
去找扫罗。
He went to seek after Saul.
而当我们往下看的时候，
As we continue to see,
我们会发现其实扫罗比巴拿巴还会讲道。
Actually, Saul was a better preacher than Barnabas.
我不敢说他比巴拿巴能干。
I'm not saying that he was more capable than Barnabas.
但是起码在圣经给我们的记录里面，主要负责讲到的不是巴拿巴，是扫罗，是保罗。
But from what the Bible tells us, after they team up, the major speaker was not Barnabas, but Paul.
我不瞒大家说。
I'll be honest with you.
我觉得这一点我没有办法跟巴拿巴比。
That I cannot be compared with Barnabas
要我找同工的话。
If I have to look for my co-workers,
我想大概我的安全感不够。
Maybe I'm not secure enough.
我大概不太敢去找一个比我强的同工来跟我配搭。
I dare not to find a co-worker that is stronger than me to
team up. 因为若是他的讲道比我强的话。
What if he preached better than I do?
那请问我这个主任牧师我站在什么地方啊？
Then who am I, the senior pastor?
在台湾，我们台湾话说，我被卡兜一哈，就说我在站，我要站在什么地方啊
？Then where can I position myself？
所以我讲，我找的一个同工，一个老师，一定是起码比我差一点点。
So if I have to look for my coworkers, I have to find someone who's less capable than I am.
因为若是比我强的话，真的我会受到威胁。
Because if it's someone stronger, more capable than me, then I will feel threatened.
大家都了解我的意思吧
？Do you understand what I mean?
但是巴拿巴他做了什么东西
？But then what did Barnabas do?
他却找了一个比他强的一个人来跟他一起。
But he found someone who is stronger than him, and then he teamed up with him.
哎呀，我觉得这个图画是我们今天在教会里面我们要学到的东西。
But this is this picture shows us a lesson that we ought to learn.
我常常说哈。今天教会多一个扫罗一定会出问题。
I often say that if today a church with Paul, he will bring a lot of troubles.
若是你在一个教会多一个扫罗的话一定会出问题。
So if,
if you have more than one Saul,
if there's more than one Saul at church, there will be a lot of problems.
但是呢你多一个巴拿巴不会有问题。
But if you have one more Barnabas, everything will still be okay.
甚至你可以有100个巴拿巴都不会有问题。
Even if you have 100 more Barnabas, you will still be okay.
求神在我们的教会兴起更多的巴拿巴。
May the Lord rise up more Barnabas in our church.
要不然于牧师很辛苦，没有，开玩笑。
Otherwise, it will be hard for Pastor Yu.
你不会再请我回来，我知道，没关系。
It's okay if you never invite me back.
这话讲到前面，我下面什么话都敢讲了。
And now I dare to say anything I want to say.
求神让我们每一个人立志做一个巴拿巴。
Let us all resolve to be a Barnabas.
我们来看这两节，尤其我想第26节值得我们注意的。
We need to pay attention to verse 26.
我想描述几个东西，我们很快看一下。
Let's look at them quickly.
一个当然就是一同来聚集。
That first is that they assemble together.
他们有一年的功夫和教会一同来聚集。
For a whole year, they assemble with the church.
虽然好像这个会跟我们上面谈到四散有一点点的矛盾。
It might seem to be conflicting to the idea of scattering, which is mentioned.
但是值得在这一个所谓缺乏教会观的时代里面。
But in this generation that lacking the concept of a church.
值得强调的。
We ought to emphasize.
一个基督徒一定要有教会的生活。
A Christian ought to live a church life.
你怎么去看新约，尤其你怎么去看保罗所写的书信，若是一个人没有正常教会生活的话。
So from the epistles and the Bible, we see that if a Christian live without a church life,
很难能够解释得通这些书信。
Then it's hard for us to interpret and understand.
因为保罗写这封书信，他最后的那个后面的理念就是有一群人，他们聚集在一起，他们一同聚会，有固定生活聚会的生活。
The reason that Paul wrote so many epistles is because he was addressing to a group of people who lived together a church life.
记不记得写希伯来书的作者在第十节，希伯来书第十章他所说的是什么吗？
What did the author of the book of Hebrews say in the chapter 10?
第十章第二十五节，他说：“你们不可停止聚会，好像那些停止惯了的人。”
Says, do not stop assembling together as those who are used to it.
倒要彼此来劝勉。
But exhort one another.
一个人若是真正的蒙恩得救
，If someone who is truly received the blessing and saved,
他就应当也需要进入到一个教会的一个生活的里面。
He ought to live a church life.
在这一个资讯发达的时代
，In this age where information is so advanced,
我比较担心的就是有一些信徒们，他们认为我只要在网上听于牧师讲道就可以了，我不需要去教会。
I worry some Christians might think that as long as I can listen to Pastor Yu online, I don't have to go to a church.
尤其到了教会，人又那么复杂，我免了我就留在家里面。这个听完了，我关掉，我可以还忙我自己的事情。
And especially there's so many problems at church. Wouldn't it be easier if I just listen to a sermon online and afterwards I just turn off my computer and go on with my life?
但是我想这样的一个理念，其实我们从这一段经文也好，从整个新约，我们解释不通的。
But we do not see this practice in all the epistles and the.
我们看这一些人信而归主的时候，他们就一同聚集在一起。
We see that when people believe and turn to the Lord, they assemble together with the church.
我想这个在宣教的工作上面也是很重要。
This is very important in our mission work.
我们怎么样在当地福音的工作上面，不仅是传福音，带人家信耶稣。
So when we reach the mission field, not only that we will bring people to the Lord.
我们也能够看到那个地方的教会被建立起来。
We also want to see that local church being built up there.
但是注意，第二，不单单是有固定的教会生活。
Not only that Christians will live a regular church life.
也有系统的教导事工。
There will also be a teaching ministry.
他们足有一年的功夫。
So for a whole year.
教训了许多人。
That they taught many people.
教训了许多人。
They taught many people.
帮助他们能够明白圣经。
So that they can understand the scripture.
也能够知道这个圣经里面的真理怎么样能够运用在我的生命当中。
So that they know how to apply the biblical truth in our daily life.
我想在教会里面也好，在拆传的工作上面，这个教训教导的工作是何等的重要。
So the teaching ministry is very important in church building as well as a mission work.
一年的功夫提醒我们，这是一个有系统性的一种教导的一种侍奉。
A whole year that they had this systematic teaching ministry.
我想这种系统性的教导在一个信徒当中是一个极其重要的一件事情。
Systematic teaching ministry is very important in edifying the church and the saints.
我们大概六年前我们搬回台湾。
About 6 years ago, my family moved back to Taiwan.
我们在那个之前是在香港住，然后主要的工作是在中国大陆。
Before that, we were living in Hong Kong and our ministry was mostly in China.
我们搬回台湾的时候，我们就在思想我们是在哪一个教会有固定的教会生活。
After we moved back to Taiwan, we were deciding which church we want to settle down to have church life.
我们在那个讨论的当中，我们夫妻在讨论这个事情的时候，我们就非常看重那个教会一定要有非常系统性的教导以及讲台上面的服事。
As my wife and I were discussing and looking and searching, we pay a lot of attention to if the church has a systematic teaching ministry and also strong pulpit service.
不是我在那个教会，其实我在那边有很多讲道的机会。
Not because I have many chances to preach on the pulpit.
但是我觉得这个在一个信徒的生命当中，在主日崇拜的讲道里面能够有很系统性的教导，对一个人的灵命非常的重要。
It's because for a Christian, it's very important for their spiritual growth if the, if they can hear strong messages from the pulpit.
我们所去的这个教会是在台北。
So we settled at a church in Taipei.
它是按章按节来安排一年的讲道，这个整个一个进度。
So, the Sunday messages were according to the, to each book in the Bible.
按章节这样有进度。
So it just follows, the scripture by chapter by chapter.
使得我今天讲的这一篇其实跟下面下个礼拜要讲的会有一些连结，会有一些的关系。
So the Sunday message of this week has, will be connected with the message next week.
其实我不瞒大家说，这个对一个传道人是很大的挑战。
To be honest, this is a great challenge for the preacher.
因为我不能按照我的负担我的喜好都一直讲我想讲的东西。
Because I can't just preach according to my heart and burden.
按照这样的一个方法，我会常常被挑战去讲一些我其实不太能够讲的东西。
In order to preach chapter by chapter, oftentimes I have to preach something that is not easy for me.
我大概每一年在教会会讲3到4次。
So every year I probably preach 3 or 4 times.
我都跟那教会的弟兄姐妹们开玩笑。
I often joke with brothers and sisters.
谢谢你们请我在这边讲道。
Thank you for inviting me to preach.
因为我发现你们安排我讲的信息都跟宣教没有什么关系。
Because I noticed the messages that you asked me to preach has nothing to do with mission.
我说一年47、48个另外礼拜天，我都是在讲宣教的东西。
Because about the other 48 Sundays, I will be preaching about mission.
啊，所以我讲宣教，我也可以讲得很有负担。
Because when I preach about mission, I can preach with burden.
但是你突然要我讲末世论，我不敢讲这样的一种信息，因为我没有装备，我没有，不是说没有负担，就是说不习惯讲这种信息。
But then all of a sudden you ask me to preach about the end time. I'm not equipped to it and I'm not used to preaching this topic.
但是我谢谢弟兄姐妹们。
But I thank you, brothers and sisters.
因为我觉得这个是挑战代际中，不要只是讲宣教啊，人家不是一味款待的。
Because you are challenging me to not only to preach about the mission.
不是只是炒那一盘菜而已啊，这个圣经里面很多的丰富，我们要有系统性的教导。
So that I will not just serve you the same dish and over, because there are many teachings in the Bible that we ought to learn.
教训许多的人。
So that they taught many people.
但是我们回到第26节的时候
As we go back to verse 26,
其实我特别喜欢的是最后的一句话
What I like is the last sentence
路加在那边他说什么呢
What did Luke say?
他说门徒称为基督徒是从安提阿起手的
The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch
门徒被称为基督徒是从安提亚起手的。
The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch.
不单单是团队的服事。
Not only is a team service.
不单单是教导的服事。
Not only is a teaching ministry.
信仰的落实也是非常的重要。
Actualization of our faith is also very important.
但一般参考书告诉我们，其实这个基督徒是一个不好的绰号。
Some references tell us that actually Christian is not a good name.
就像这个曹雅芝被取个外号叫红毛番人。
Just like that missionary George Stott, he was given a nickname, the crippled barbarian.
他们是取笑这些基督徒，所以给他们取了一个名字叫小基督。
So actually they were mocking the Christians by calling them little Christ.
但是我想其实在这一个绰号里面我们看到一个很宝贵的信息。
But actually this nickname gives us a very precious message.
不晓得他们是不是开口闭口都是讲基督，所以被称为基督徒。
I don't know if they were being called Christians because they mentioned about Christ all the time.
还是当人看他们的时候就看出他们很像基督因此他们被称为基督徒
Or when people saw them, they saw Christ, therefore they call them Christians.
无论是用口讲的也好是用生活传的也好
Whether it was preached by mouth or by works.
我想重点就是这一些门徒们让人家听想到基督想到耶稣
But these disciples, they remind others of Christ.
每次来湾区心里面都有很深的感触。
Every time I come to Silicon Valley,
因为我全时间呼召其实是在湾区得着的。
Actually, I was being called to full-time ministry here in Silicon Valley.
大学毕业后我就来了湾区工作两年的时间。
After college, I came to Bay Area to work for 2 years.
其实那时候我不太知道神在我身上的带领。
At that time, I was not aware of God's leading in my life.
其实严格说这样不太正确。其实我知道，但是我很抗拒。
Strictly speaking, I knew it, but I resisted.
其实我从高二我就知道神呼召我要做一个传道人。
But sophomore year in high school, I knew God would call me to be a preacher, minister.
但是我非常抗拒这个东西。
But I resisted that.
其中一个原因就是我从小就被人家问你要不要做个传道人。
One of the reasons that Since I was a little kid, always people asked me if I wanted to be a pastor.
你叫戴季宗啊，那你要继续祖宗，所以你要做个传道人。
Because of your name, you carry this family name. You ought to continue this family heritage.
所以我七八岁我就跟上帝说，我什么都做，但是我不做传道人。
So when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I bargained with God. I said, I'm willing to do anything but being a pastor.
我高一的时候，十年级的时候。
About when I was a sophomore in high school,
我就很清楚知道神 呼召我做一个传道人。
I clearly knew that God called me to be a pastor.
你知道更微妙的一件事情。
What's even more interesting?
其实我高三的时候才信耶稣。
Actually, I became a Christian, when I was a senior at high school.
我们台湾说这个很吊诡哈。就是说这个是好像很荒谬的一件事情，你都还没有信耶稣，你就知道上帝要呼召你做一个传道人。
This is kind of ridiculous. How could you get called by God before you even became a Christian?
我到了大学，虽然我信了主，我还是很抗拒信做一个传道人。
Even after I became a Christian, I still resisted this calling to be a pastor.
我知道我一定会用我的中文来工作。
I know that, I knew that I would, make a living or do.Work,
所以我也到了纽，我也到这个华盛顿首府去看有没有一些工作是可以透过讲中文来工作的。
So I even visited Washington D.C. to see if there's any job for me that I can use my Chinese.
大学毕业，神就把我带到湾区。
After college, God brought me to Bay Area.
我就在 Berkeley 上班。
So I work at Berkeley.
在那两年的当中，神就把一个祝福带到我的生命里面。
So during those 2 years.God brought me a blessing.
因为在 Berkeley 有一个退休的宣教师，内地会的宣教师。
At Berkeley, there was a retired missionary from China Inland Mission.
若是你湾区住久的话，有可能你都还认识，他的名字叫艾德里艾牧师 ，David Adney.
David Adney, his name.
他是一个英国人。
He's an Englishman.
剑桥大学毕业的。
Graduated from Cambridge University.
30年代加入内地会到。方城，河南的方城，传福音做宣教士。
So in the 1930s, he joined China Inland Mission and went to Fangcheng to be a missionary.
所以他一辈子讲的普通话都是带着浓厚的河南腔。
Therefore, his Mandarin, has a strong 河南 accent.
那时候我才二十出。
I was in my early 20s.
艾牧师已经70多岁了。
And this missionary, was in his 70s.
我常常跟艾牧师没大没小的。
So I often just, I would be very comfortable with him.
我会纠正他的普通话。
I would correct his Mandarin.
因为他每一次祷告都是亲爱的猪，不是亲爱的主。
Yeah, he would pray with a strong accent.
我说艾牧师啊，这个是猪主主猪要分清楚啊。
Because, he always messed up with the accent.
但是我回想到那两年。
As I recall those 2 years.
我很感谢神把我放在艾牧师的身旁。
I really thank God for placing me right next to this missionary.
因为艾牧师在那两年的当中，神就透过艾牧师来帮助这一个在信仰、在服事上面一直在挣扎的一个年轻。
So God was using him to help me, a young person who's been struggling in my faith.
但是讲到艾牧师，其实我主要讲一个例子。
And I want to give you an example.
有一次艾牧师参加一个聚会。
Once, Pastor Adeline, went to a conference.
有很多不同的讲员。
And many speakers were there.
有一天早晨艾牧师跟这些讲员一起在那边坐在一个桌子在那边吃饭，吃早餐。
One morning he was having breakfast with some pastors.
后来有一个年轻人就走到艾牧师的旁边。
A young person came to Pastor Adeline.
跟他说 ,Mr. Adeline, can I say something to you?
Says, 艾牧师我可不可以跟你讲几句话。
他说 ,of all the people, all the speakers at this conference.
他说所有在这个特会的讲员。
You remind me most of Jesus.
你是最让我想起耶稣的人。
You remind me most of Jesus.
你是最让我想起耶稣的人。
生命的落实，信仰的落实。
That's the actualization of life and faith.
人能不能够越发看到基督的形象在你我的生命当中呢
？Can people see the image of Jesus on you and me?
我们怎么样能够从信徒到门徒？怎么样能够从门徒到基督徒？
How can we transform from being a believer to disciples, from disciples to Christians?
不要误会我的意思，不是说基督徒就不是信徒。
Please do not misunderstand. I'm not saying that Christians, believers are not Christians.
但是今天有很多人，他们只不过是信徒，还没有成为耶稣基督的门徒，那更加的还没有成为基督徒。
But today, there are many believers who are not yet the disciples of Jesus Christ, who are not yet the followers of Christ.
教会的成熟。
Maturing of the church.
教会的成熟。
Maturing of the church.
最后一段是从第27节到第30节。
Okay, the last section is from verse 27 to 30.
描述着安提阿的教会不单单是它的开始。
So not only the start of the church in Antioch,
它的成熟。
It's maturing.
也描述它的施舍。
And also it's giving.
这个教会怎么样能够从蒙恩的里面成为一个施恩的教会。
How this church is transformed from being blessed to give out blessings.
那边路加描述着有一些先知他们从耶路撒冷就来到了安提阿这个地方。
So some prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch.
内中有一个名叫亚加布的他就站起来借着圣灵指明天下将有大饥荒。
And one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be great famine throughout all the world.
结果这一件事情呢在格老丢的年间果然有了。
Which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar.
大概是在主后45年左右的时候。
It happens about 45 AD.
有这样的一个大饥荒。
There was a great famine.
在这一个天灾的里面我们就看到安提阿的教会在施舍的上面被挑战起来。
Through this natural disaster, we see that this church was challenged to give.
从这个天灾的里面，他们发现他们不能只是成为一个吸收的一个教会，乃是他们也要同时成为一个给予的一个教会。
From this natural disaster, they realized that they should not continue to stay as a receiving church, but they have to transform to become a giving church.
我想到这一句话的时候，就想到两年前有一位中国大陆的信徒，他这样跟我描述。
This reminds me of a Chinese Christian who talked to me about 2 years ago.
他说512的大地震，四川的大地震。
That the 四川 earthquake
震醒了，不单单是震动了中国，其实也震醒了他的教会。
Not only shook up China, but also woke up his church.
他说，在那个512地震之前，其实他们所强调的就是他们自己教会的需要。
Before the Sichuan earthquake, all they thought about was their church's need.
他们只想到他们这一小块，他们的教会的一些不同的服事。
They only thought about the different ministries and services within their own church.
但是借着那一次的大地震，他们突然被震醒过来。
Through that earthquake, all of a sudden they were awakened.
他们发现神的心意不是要他们只是关心到他们自己的需要。
They realized that God's heart was not only for them to care about their own needs.
乃是他们也能够关心到远方的需要。
But they will also care about the needs far away.
我们看到的确神常常就是用一些天灾也好或者人祸来开阔我们的视野。
We can see that God often used natural disasters or human tragedies to broaden our vision.
但是我请大家特别注意第二十九节。
I'd like you to pay attention to verse 29.
我觉得这一节给我们很重要的提醒。
This verse greatly reminds us.
在需要的面前。
When we face a great need.
这些门徒们教会的回应是什么呢？
What would be the church's response?
路加在这边说，于是门徒他们就定义照个人的力量来捐钱。
The disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief.
我们看到首先他们定义这件事情。
First of all, they determined.
他们不是随随便便的来就做出一个冲动的一个决定。
They do not just casually, make some rush.Decision.
乃是他们很仔细的去评估了他们自己在这件事情上面所应当扮演的一个角色。
They carefully evaluated and decided what kind of role they will play.
这个定义其实不单单是描述，不是一种冲动。
Not only that it was not a haste decision.
也描述着一种决心。
And it also shows a resolution.
他们定义要来做这件事情。
They determined to accomplish it.
虽然有可能不太容易。
Even though it might not be easy.
但是他们下了这个决定，他们就定义一定会去做。
But they made a decision and they decided to carry it through.
他们定义什么呢？
What did they decide?
照个人的力量。
According to everyone's ability.
照个人的力量。
According to everyone's ability.
每一个人都有参与。
Everyone will participate.
虽然每一个人的力量不太一样，每一个人的资源背景都不太一样。
Everyone's ability, resources, and backgrounds might not be the same.
但是每一个人都参与在这一个工作的里面。
But everyone participated in this effort.
他们按照个人的力量来
捐钱。According to their ability,
捐钱。
They sent relief.
我就想到这句话，其实在教会的工作何等的重要。
And this is so important at church ministry.
更加的，我想在宣教的挑战当中，这一句话十分的重要。
Especially in the challenges of mission.
我们需要有更多的教会或者更多的个人定义，照着神所给予我们的时间，给予我们的经验，给予我们的财力，来投入在教会以及远方福音的工作上面。
Regarding mission, we ought to everyone according to his time, his resources, and his wealth, engage and participate in mission.
想到这里，我就想到早期一位去到中国的一位宣教师。
Then I remember a missionary who went to China.
他的名字叫伯德恩 ，Borden, William Borden.
His name is William Borden.
伯德恩他是一个美国人。
He is an American.
他念大学的时候
,while he was still in college,
神就呼召他去到中国的大西北去传福音。
God called him to the northwestern part of China.
他是学法律的。
He was a law student.
其实是在学校里面算非常优秀的一个同学。
He was an outstanding student at school.
全班第一名。
He was number one student at school.
同学投票最有可能成功的一位，他们就选出了伯德恩。
And then he was elected as the one with most potential to succeed.
后来他大四的时候，他奉献自己去中国宣教。
While he was a senior at college, he offered himself, dedicated himself to Chinese mission.
很多人都设法说服他不要去中国。
Many people tried to convince him not to go.
跟他说，其实你留在美国，你多赚一点钱，你能够支持宣教的工作，多过你一个人去中国能够做的事情。
People are trying to convince him that if you stay in America, make a lot of money, that you can further support mission work more than what you can do alone.
好像是很合理的一件事情。
This sounds very logical and reasonable.
但是这不是神在伯德恩身上的心意。
But this was not God's heart on Borden.
乃是要伯德恩奉献他自己，去到中国的大西北。
But actually, God wanted Brother Borden to go to the northwestern part of China to share the gospel.
后来有人在伯德恩的圣经里面找到伯德恩曾经写下了这三句话。
And then later on, people discovered these three statements in Borden's Bible.
他都是用英文的 no, N-O 做开始。
It all started with the English word no.
他说首先当我跟随耶稣的时候，我是毫无保留的来跟随耶稣。
No reservation when I follow Jesus.
毫无保留的。
No reservation.
他说不单单是毫无保留，我是毫无退缩的来跟随耶稣。
Not only no reservation, but I will not withdraw.
No retreat.
No retreat.
毫无退缩的来跟随耶稣。
No retreat when I follow Jesus.
他说毫无保留，毫无退缩，且毫无遗憾 ,regret. 毫无遗憾的来跟随耶稣。
No reservation, no retreat, and no regret in following Jesus.
若是你我有机会去读他的传记的话
，If we have chance to read his biography,
我们就能够看到一个照着神所给他的力量的一个人，把他的一生奉献给中国。
We see a person according to his ability offer himself for China.
其实他所捐的不是钱，他所捐的是他的生命。
What he offered up, donated, was not his money, but his life.
我十分的相信，其实神今天晚上要我们奉献的。
I believe that tonight God wanted us to offer.
不单单是我们的 talents, 我们的才干。
Not only our talent or ability.
不单单是我们的 time, 我们的时间。
Not only our time.
不单单是我们的财力，我们的 treasures，
not only our treasures，
神乃是要我们奉献我们自己。
But God wants us to offer ourselves。
门徒定义照个人的力量。
Disciples each according to his ability determined to send relief。
教会的施舍。
The giving of a church。
从蒙恩。
From being blessed。
到施恩。
to give out blessings.
在施恩的里面。
While in giving.
见证主恩。
Testify God's grace.
安提阿教会的起手。
The beginning of the Church of Antioch.
安提阿教会的成熟。
Maturing of the Church of Antioch.
安提阿教会的施舍。
The giving of the Church of Antioch.
戴牧师，我们不要做中国的耶路撒冷。
The person said to me, Pastor Taylor, we don't want to be the Jerusalem of China.
为我们祷告。
Pray for us.
求神帮助我们能够做中国的安提阿。
May the Lord help us to become Antioch of China.
但愿这也是今天晚上我们为我们自己教会的心愿。
We hope that this is also our wish and our prayer.
我们一起低头。
Let's bow our heads.
天父，谢谢你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you.
在忙碌的一周结束。
At the end of a busy week.
仍然有机会，主啊，来到你的面前。
That we still have chance to come before you.
与众弟兄姐妹们一同来思想安提阿教会这样的一个美丽的图画。
That we get to meditate this beautiful picture of Church of Antioch with our brothers and sisters.
从它的起手。
From its beginning.
到它的成熟。
Through its maturing.
从它的成熟。
From its maturing.
到它的施舍。
To its giving.
主要相信这样的记载不是突然的。
We believe that this is not by accident that this is recorded.
乃是你在话语里面所留给我们的一个榜样。
But this is an example given to us.
不单单是一个榜样。
Not only an example.
也相信主是一个标准。
But this is also a standard.
让我们就能够从这短短的十二节里面。
Through these 12 verses.
一同来思想。
We get to meditate on this.
无论是我们自己在你面前属灵的光景也好。
That we examine our spiritual condition before you.
主啊，我们教会求主你自己继续的帮助我们，能够更加成为一个安提阿的教会。
May the Lord help us that our church will become more and more like the church at Antioch.
我们仰望你。
Lord, we look upon you.
垂听我们的祷告。
Listen our prayers.
奉靠耶稣基督的名。
We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
朋友，你收听了节目后，有何感想呢？请你在活在耶稣里福音网页下端，点击联络我们，在主内分享彼此的见证，好吗？如果你需要我们为你祷告，也请留言。我们愿主耶稣通过他的真理和圣灵工作，帮助你不断在主里更新生命。